when we do the work we do, who cares? What does it matter? You know, we advocate, we raise a fuss, who cares? To me, that's the real key question here. Now, governments tend to follow political will. Remember, the first goal of government, the first goal, and I don't care if it's civic, provincial, or federal, the first goal, and then there's a huge gap to the second goal. First goal isn't to govern. The first goal is not to realize a political vision. The first goal is not to do good. The first goal isn't even to do bad. The first goal is to get reelected. And BC is textbook on this. I got to tell you. I'll tell you the rhythm of what's going to happen. And if anybody is prepared to bet against me, I will even give you odds. Two years of blight. Now, we're a year and a half in. We're winding down the blight. Okay? And by the time we hit June of 03, the love-in will start. They will have been too hard on us. The cuts were too deep. They have to find a way to listen better. And we, the big we, will believe. We believed the NDP when they did it. We believed the SoCreds when they did it. And in fact, you watch what happens municipally, we believe there too. Did you really think you were going to get a referendum in Vancouver? What will happen is they will also, and I can almost guarantee you the rhythm. The one thing I truly like about the Liberals is scheduling. You know exactly when the sessions of the legislature are there. You know exactly when the next election is going to be. So you know to the day when the love will start to flow. Okay. You also, I can tell you, that in all likelihood, and I'm willing to bet on this one as well, the next session will start in February. Will end in May. Okay. The first big cabinet shuffle will take place in June. Okay. Because when you've had somebody with a hatchet tearing apart a ministry because of a very specific political goal, and you want to start the love, okay, you have somebody new come in to love us. It may be from the same cast, but it won't be the same person. And in BC, you'll see shifting among various ranks and files. People who have done the government's bidding will move up or over. People who have not will move down or out. And because you have so many backbenchers, some have to have a sense that you can win the lottery. So some will come from the back forward. Okay? We will get new ministers. They will love us. Okay? Advocation will all of a sudden be cool again. You will have calls returned. All of a sudden, your voice will matter. Now, nothing has changed because governments tend to work on the two and two rhythm. Now, when you don't have a set date for an election, then you don't know when the love is going to start. But you will feel it. And you will know that an election is coming within 2 years. Okay? This way, I like it because I can plan things like my holidays. I can plan my agency's budget. Okay? I can even plan to run a small deficit in that next year because I anticipate there'll be more money available. Okay? Now, the government is interested in doing this because they know that when you do the first couple of years of cutting, you do that to please and appease the people who elected you. When you change tunes, you do it to get reelected. Now, when I say the people, I mean all the people, the entire province, not just us, not just ours, the whole province. And let's not forget what happened in the last provincial election. And before you kid yourself, that a huge wave to the left is coming out of Vancouver and it's going to sweep the province, don't forget what happened in the rest of the province. Pretty much a flat status quo. I work and live in Surrey. Okay? We didn't move one inch. We elected the exact same council, and the only seats that the left got were when people resigned as independents, and those seats came up for grabs. So don't necessarily see this as a beginning. And this is the first annoying part. Okay? I don't anticipate that in the next election in 2005, there will be a change of government. I have many of my colleagues saying to me, we're going to toss them out. We're going to throw the rascals out. The end is near. Well, that implies two things. One, that in the last 2 years of the mandate, there is no love. And I assure you there will be love. And secondly, that somebody, see, it's not about just throwing them out. Someone's got to come in. At this point in time, I am not seeing a huge resurgence in the left. I'm not seeing any resurgence. I'm not sure if any of you spotted the absolutely invisible federal NDP leadership train that went across Canada, inspiring all of us. I was amazed to find out that they'd been in Vancouver and left. I had no idea they were coming to town. Okay? This is, without a doubt, a two-term government minimum. If we don't do our work, it's a three-term government. And what that means is, for many of us here, we will retire with a Liberal government running the province. Now, as advocates, I've got to tell you, this is annoying part number two, it doesn't matter. Our role is to advocate regardless of who the government is. And for those of you who have longer memories than 18 months, I got to admit that I was annoyed as hell at the NDP when they ran this province. I was annoyed as hell. Because I didn't see that they were taking particularly good care of us or ours. There was a lot of love flowing in the last 6 months. They struck more committees and put more money on the table than I've seen them in ages, but it was way, way too late in the cycle. They knew that. So understand the rhythm here. And understand that we're not going to see a significant shift in 05. Remember, we're a year and a half in. By the time we hit next summer, there will be a shift in the Liberal focus from far right to center right, I guarantee you. And what they'll also do, and I love politics. I find it fascinating. So I live in BC because there's no other part of Canada that does politics like we do. We are outstanding on politics. The other thing that's going to happen is the government will, without any doubt, work particularly hard to piss off the Green Party, to piss off the environmental movement. Why would they take the time to do that? Because a good Green Party means a split on the left. Okay? The NDP had hoped that the Greens would wander away because they don't have a real strong base, and it was a lot of young people and a lot of energy at the election, and then it quieted down pretty quickly. But if you can go and kill a couple of owls or drill offshore or run a pipeline through an Arctic habitat, Green will rise up and people will flow to Green, and they're not flowing from the right. So also watch to see some really, really annoying stuff done on the environmental front, which is them saying, for God's sakes, Green Party, would you resurrect? What the hell do we have to do here? Okay? And they will resurrect because those are their issues. They care deeply about those issues. And you will see them rise up, which will serve to annoy the hell out of the left, who needed that bench strength. Oh, where the hell am I? Sorry, I get carried away. Governments can be influenced. They truly can. But I find that you have to watch how you influence. And not all indignation and protest is equal. Okay? I watched with great interest the first wave of protest in the province in the first 6 months of the government's agenda. And if you think for 1 second, when they began their first move to defang the unions, that they were not fully prepared for outrage, you're very wrong. They were not surprised. But they also knew that it would be short-lived. Bear in mind, did anybody here go to the huge rally in the legislature where the BC Fed rented the ferry? Okay? You realize that there was nobody in government in that day. Okay? You also realize it was a 1 to 2 day newspaper event. You know how much the BC Fed paid for that day? Okay? It was $100,000 for the ferry. Okay? And then it was over. And what was the impact? What changed? Did the government say, oh my God, the labor unions and the advocates are pissed off. They're walking all over the lawns of the legislature. We better shift policy. Nothing. They knew in the first 6 months people would be outraged and angry. But they also, this is BC. For the most part, most people have the attention of fruit flies. We will do a rally. We'll do a letter. We'll howl in indignation once or twice. But the real battle is to keep that moving steadily like a fire. I love the people in the community living sector. They've always understood that it's a long-term struggle. They aren't a large group, but two phone calls puts 100 people on the steps of the legislature. And they'll come every day. I met a woman, a wonderful woman, from up in the interior, who, in her annoyance and anger about how the government was treating her autistic son, picketed for the better part of 6 months, every day, with a sign saying basically the government is bad. They're hurting. This is the old government. Every day. Community living does that. You don't pay community living people. You don't buy their lunch to put them on a ferry. They do it because they believe. I talked to a buddy of mine who's a federal MP. We were debating funding issues for the various sectors. And we were meeting up on Parliament Hill in Ottawa. And he took me outside. He said, I want to show you something. And we walked outside, and I'm not sure if any of you have spent any time in Ottawa, but there's a members' entrance to the big house. And right beside it, it's a bus stop, actually. And they run, when the house is sitting, they run a shuttle bus that runs between the various government offices. So these guys can step out, step on the shuttle bus, be driven to their office, hop off. And it just circles pretty steadily when the house is in session. And we stood outside of that door. It was middle of winter. It was February, March. Very, very cold. Ottawa cold. And across from us was an old fellow, well-groomed, probably about 70, wearing a big sandwich board. And his issue, his only issue, was abortion. So his only issue. My buddy said to me, this fellow has been doing this as a personal crusade now since the Liberals were first elected. He is here every single day that we are sitting. Every day. For as long as we sit. If we're sitting, he's standing. Waiting. When we go home, he goes home. He does it every day, and he says he's going to do it every day the government's in power until they ban abortion. That was his issue. Now, my buddy said whether I support him or not wasn't the issue. He believes, and he will do this every day. And he said if people could only understand that slow, steady, I'm not going away, I believe, works miracles politically, you'd be amazed at what you can get from government. He says he now knows every single member of the federal government by first name. And we know him because he's here every day. He doesn't yell at us. He doesn't swear at us. He doesn't throw things at us. He knows all the RCMP officers. He never stands on the road. He doesn't block traffic. He stands there. And the term I love to use with him is he bears witness. Okay? I see community living bearing witness when they believe. To tell you the truth, this is one of those annoying ones again. I'm not entirely sure that the 80 or 90 odd day sit-in at Woodward's, I don't see the provincial government being unhappy with that. What it did was it took issues of homelessness and allowed people who have kidded themselves that it's not a problem to say, well, the people down there are all a bunch of druggy bums sleeping on mattresses. These aren't real people. These aren't families. These are single militants. These are single protesters. These are people who are down here who have accommodation and were down here protesting, and they were able to, in one move, say, that's the homeless problem in the province of BC, right there. And I go downtown quite often, and my partner, whenever we drive down there, as we drive into the area, locks the car doors. because that area and that population scare her. She's afraid someone's going to open the car door and grab her. Okay? I'm not sure how that sort of issue helps homeless people. And I find it interesting that most of the homeless advocates who worked steadily for years in the Down on the East Side fairly quickly on divorced themselves from what was happening in Woodward, saying, wait a minute, I'm not sure this is helping the issue. This is polarizing the issue. This is basically allowing people off the hook. And if you think for one second that the government doesn't quietly celebrate any time a protest turns violent, they do. Because the general public, the voting public, doesn't understand when we say, well, you've got to understand, we're frustrated. What they're able to do is to say, these are radical, militant thugs. And they have nothing to do with honest protest. And the government looks good. The protesters look bad, and we take a step